All right, I'll finish the session with getting back to the coast of California. Right here is our beautiful harbor in Ventura, and this is the mountains, and about 1 million people live in this community. And we have agriculture stuck in here in between and trying to be environmentally friendly and accommodate all the beneficial uses of runoff water, steelhead, swimming, bathing, and so on. Quite a challenge. One of the ordinances from one of the most restrictive counties is Santa Barbara County. It says agricultural operators are subject to one of those orders to minimize stormwater runoff and velocity and pollutants and keep it soil in place. It is one of the 500 pages, you know, documents that are available for you to comply with. I learned from session next door that every state in this country is increasing production of in tunnels. It's becoming big everywhere, but it's been huge in California, obviously. All our canberries, and this is in the case of raspberries, is produced in tunnels. We have blackberries, flowers, some of the vegetable crops, cannabis, you name it. Just because it's a session of water, I'll throw in some weeds for the good measure. I'm a weed scientist. You know, they're always wet, those areas, because you concentrate runoff from this plastic into those narrow post rows, we call them, and they grow weeds. They always have moisture. And what I noticed that, you know, wind dispersed species, they like to germinate on the wet surface of the soil, and it's always available in those places. We have seed bank species coming out, and they just proliferate and they spread out through your whole production system. There are very few control options in the specialty crops like berries. So we looked at in a couple of years at a variety of different inexpensive and simple treatments for the growers to use. Yard waste mulch, this is spread here. This is a barley cover crop, one of the cheapest cover crops you can find. Wheat barrier mats that have already been used by organic growers to control weeds, and polyacrylamide. And this is some of the images of that. There's erosion, and in the untreated post rows after high rainfalls, especially on slopes. As you see, our ground is premium and it's very expensive, so the growers are pushed to farm in the difficult areas such as slopes, canyons, and that's where the concentrated runoff becomes even more dramatic. There's a lot of soil losses. There's a weeds growing there, as you see here, and some of the other images, as well as weed barrier. Well, we placed all of those before putting the tunnels, so it's easy and convenient, and we established the cover crop with the pre-irrigation of, raspberry, before the tunnel has been installed. So the cover crop uses the initial water from irrigation to get started. We applied polyacrylamide with a sprayer. It didn't work too well. We resorted to using just the granular formulation. It was easy enough to do and worked just as well. So just to kind of summarize what we're seeing and what growers are seeing in this is rainwater falls on those tunnels. It's sometimes a 100-acre field on the slope. You have a lot of runoff potential there. And it will concentrate here in this one row and run off. Some of it will infiltrate as well, especially if the rain runoff is slow. So we placed collection areas with what we call passive samplers, which is basically a bottle collecting runoff, and this fills up, intercepting the first flush of runoff in all of those treatments, barley mulch, polyacrylamide, fabric, wheat berry fabric, and treated check. I've also had lysimeters trying to capture what's happening with the infiltration, so both directions of that water flow. We did it in two locations in coastal California, in Santa Maria, and in Somis, California, in a raspberry production system with the biggest raspberry production company in the world, Driscoll's. First thing we looked at is turbidity. It's a good visual way to look at water quality and what's in it. And this is a check in the middle, untreated post rows, the most turbid. Polyacrylamide looks pretty good, and so does everything else. A bit of color of mulch. It's not because of turbidity. It's because the mulch particles give away the color of the wood that's in the mulch. If you look at turbidity in both locations, we reduced it several fold with those treatments. This under the checks on the right, and all the treatments here, this is in Somis. With a few exceptions, they're looking really good. There are things happen in those tunnels. It's not perfect. Sometimes we have to replant a barley cover crop and have soil disturbance. Sometimes we have to, there was removal of plastic from the beds that resulted in soil in this treatment here in fabric, which polluted the runoff. So it's you have to stay on top of it. This is the time we didn't apply polyacrylamide. Obviously, the numbers are high. And the same was true for Santa Maria location. It's almost a carbon copy. All treatments did really well for turbidity compared to the Czechs. It's different rainfall events and with different bars. But every time it worked well for turbidity. We also looked at sediment, the amount of sediment that settles in those collection spots. It can be an issue if you have to have a body of water, if you have to take your sediment out from it. It's an expense to the grower as well. And basically, with one exception, when we had soil move from beds to the fabric and contaminating the treatment, we had a several-fold decrease in the sediment with all the scenarios compared to the Czechs. This is quite a strong rainfall we experienced 2 years ago. This is Santa Maria after a small rain. Same thing. We have numbers are lower, but the tendency is the same. All the treatments we implied here worked pretty well for minimizing sediment accumulation. This is important for us because you might have heard issues with chlorpyrifos being in the news lately. It's one of the legacy pesticides among many others that are sorbed to soil particles. And when you move soil particles, your creeks, your ocean, your lagoons have detectable levels of those pesticides because you moved soil with the pesticides on them. So if you keep the soil in place, which is a good practice no matter what, you also minimize movement of potential legacy pesticides. That was the work actually done a few years ago by one of the colleagues here in Ventura County as well. Phosphorus, likewise, is attached to soil particles, and it wasn't as dramatic as with turbidity, but every time compared to black bars, all the colored bars have reductions in phosphorus in the runoff water. Anywhere between 24% to 85%. It varies a lot. It varies in rain, varies in stage of cover crop, varies in what other things that happen in those tunnels, a lot of activities. Nitrogen wasn't really exactly an object of this study because we don't fertilize cover, the post rows. All the fertility happens in the bed, inside the tunnel. But even so, we wanted to see what happens with nitrogen. We didn't see significant differences in runoff water. It was too much variability. Only a couple of times we saw barley and cover crop and the mulch giving us some significant reductions in nitrate nitrogen in runoff. But we noticed also the flow was reduced in those treatments. The biomass of both barley and mulch acted somewhat of a stabilizing agent for reducing the speed of runoff. And maybe because of that, during light rains, we had no runoff in those treatments at all. So all the water was staying in those treatments, in those tunnel post rows, with barley and mulch. We looked at leachate, and likewise here, barley and mulch showed up in both Ventura and Santa Barbara County. They had significantly reduced amount of nitrate, nitrogen in leachate below about 6 to 12 inches. Actually, this was up to 24 inches depth. That would be potentially moving towards groundwater. It's interesting, and I look at barley cover crop and mulch as kind of a sponge system because they slow down runoff, they intercept a lot of it, and I think they intercept a lot of things that are in this runoff, and they also maintain the moisture longer. This was shown here. So both the moisture is higher in those treatments, but also the amount of nitrate nitrogen in soil under those treatments is lower. So they don't let... They're slowing down movement of water nitrogen in both directions, out of the tunnel and down towards groundwater, the way this data shows, and actually was true for both locations as well. We have an economist who worked with us. Obviously for growers, it has to be somewhat cost effective. This is a summary of her work. It's a pretty comprehensive work, but it shows that cover crops can be very inexpensive. $59, what I don't show here is some of the ins and outs of this, such as there's a labor for implementing those treatments. There is also savings in weeding costs because you have some weed control provided, especially things like weed barrier mat or cover crop can be quite effective. So looking at all the benefits and drawbacks and costs, she estimated that we could do pretty well with cover crop, and the most expensive was actually polyacrylamide because it doesn't control weeds at all and only works well for particles, and it has to be reapplied just about every soil disturbance, which does happen because they have workers picking fruit, they have pruning, they have all the things that disturb the soil just enough to break the seal of polyacrylamide. If you don't disturb it, it works pretty well for several rain events. But the reality dictates differently. So the idea is we have all this information available to help growers make decisions if they need to comply with those really strict water quality runoff requirements. And I argue that there's some benefits besides just the cost. If you show the cost, growers are not very excited about this. to put it mildly. But there are benefits. You keep the soil in place. You keep a nitrogen phosphorus in place. That's a benefit to your long-term production, hopefully. Maybe you can put a little green label saying this farm practices soil conservation, and your product will get an attention of consumers. Who knows? We work with the largest companies, Driscoll and Ryder, when there's an interest in this kind of work. We did field days. We have our bilingual guidelines explaining step by step, real simple, in a real simple language with pictures, how to do this if they want to do it, what to expect. So they're available on the website, and we'll get them distributed as well as part of extension effort in the project. So briefly, that's the scope of that little project, and any questions, I'll be glad to answer. Yeah, of course. Mike?
Yeah. So, on the, how did you manage the cover crop later in the season? Did you kill it?
The question was about how to manage cover crop. We had to look at two scenarios. We used a, in conventional system, an herbicide. An herbicide basically kills, a grass herbicide which kills safely in any broad broadleaf system such as caneberries, safely, and leaves the residue there. But we noticed some of the roots were easily removed with a runoff once they killed them with herbicide because it kills the whole plant. In an organic system or organic option, I guess we looked at mowing it, and mowing is an expense in this scenario as well we had to include. Mowing leaves all the stubble and leaves also the tillering fraction of the plant in place as long as well as the root system, so it stays in the place. And I think that when a plant is alive, yes, you put expenses into mowing, but you don't have to reseed it and lose plants or lose efficacy of the treatments this way. And the way I see it, actively grown plants will take your nitrogen, take your water. But I think that's why we're seeing less nitrogen in those systems with barley, which is still actively growing, as well as even with mulch, because I think mulch decomposition requires nitrogen, and so your lignified mulch was going to absorb this nitrogen to use it for decomposition. So you could both ways work, but we like mowing better, even though it's extra expense. It's cheaper. It's more expensive than herbicide. Any more questions? Andre?
Yeah. For your acrylamide, the nitrate, I believe the nitrate levels in the leachate at 18 step and in the soil are higher than all the other treatments. What do you attribute that to?
The question was, why do we have more nitrogen in polyacrylamide treatments compared to other things? I don't know. We definitely know it didn't work at all. There's quite a bit of variability to this. The only thing we're able to distinguish is that barley and mulch having reductions in nitrogen. Polyacrylamide acts like a plastic. It just seals the soil. It doesn't do anything to nitrogen or weeds. Or it basically just lets the water run off without too much interruption and disturbance of soil. So I didn't expect much, and it just happened to be a little higher than check.
Was it applied multiple times?
Yeah, the question was, would you apply it multiple times? Yes. We try to apply it before the rains, and we'll check if there was a seal broken, if there was a traffic or disturbance of soil, we'll reapply it. If there was no, it will stay in place from the previous application and work for multiple rain events, and it was still effective as long as you don't disturb it. Yes, one more question.
More of a comment than a question. So you might look into, as far as reducing your nitrogen levels, using just wood chips, because they're a lot better for nitrogen remediation than probably your compost would be. So,
Yeah, the comment was about using wood chips. Actually, that's exactly what we used. The what we call yard waste mulch is basically a chopped up woody materials that come from Los Angeles and other counties that have been processed, and they're inert.
Unprocessed, just regular wood chips. They're really good at removing
nitrogen. Wood chips can work. We're looking for the best ones. The yard waste mulch is free. The only cost is laying it out and distributing it in your setting. It's just the cost of distribution. Okay.
Do you think other cover crops would work as well as barley did in this example? Is it just a cost issue? Or?
The question about cover crops being different from barley, barley was the cheapest, so I think for us that was a good one. We're looking now at in a different project in rye, and I'm surprised rye actually has more biomass than barley. It has to be manageable, inexpensive, because in the areas where you have pickers or pruners, labor walking through those areas, you don't want to make sure you don't grow something that's going to be unmanageable or becomes a reservoir for pests, such as insect pests. or diseases maybe even. So you have to be really careful. We were worried a little bit about rodents, but we terminated before the seeding, so we didn't see any issues with that. And the people who work in those tunnels, we interviewed them about how difficult or easy it is to navigate for those treatments. They didn't have any issues, even with barley. Okay. Well, I guess that concludes our session for the moment. And thank you so much for coming, and I enjoy the rest of the day.